Ryan Rashog joins us as always for the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Stop in. You can check out over 600 vehicles to choose from or surf online at autocityedmonton.com, and they'll have a deal for you. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm doing well today, pal. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Todd McClellan, I liked his honesty last night. Even today, goes, yeah, I went home and pouted, then I got over it, and now it's a new day, and that was his exact words.
Yeah,
and you move on from it. I think clearly, though, like the one thing that I got from last night is, I think he's being patient. His patience has run out with a guy like Schultz. I think it's done. I think there's, and not just Schultz. He's one of many. His comments, the spirit of the team, guys not going, like, when I ask him about, well, how do you get some guys to just stop the gas? Well, we get rid of them. So, I could see purge might be too extreme, but, I'm thinking between now and October, Ryan, we'll see a significant turnover in this roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could see some significant changes. I mean, they're going to have to make changes to be able to improve. The one comment that stuck out to me today, and I'm going to paraphrase it, and I wrote it into the story I did for SportsCenter, but the sentiment that he brought across today when he was asked about if it's a coach's job to kind of figure out how to prod a player, how to get figure a player out, and he said, yeah, it is, but sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes coaches are able to affect things with a player, and sometimes they're able to make it work, and sometimes, just doesn't work out, and that happens. That, to me, was a very telling comment today. He may not like this, but I'm going to crawl into his brain here. I think he's just 100% thoroughly finished with Justin Schultz. Any hope whatsoever of trying to find redeemable quality in this player, I think he's frustrated every last nerve he has trying to get it done. And I think he's literally at the end of the rope with it. And the comments that we are hearing from him in the last 18 hours or 24 hours are different than the ones we've heard before. He has said, when how do you get players to stop making the same mistake? Trade them. He has said sometimes it doesn't work out with the player. He has talked about how significant changes might be needed. I mean, this is he's not a veteran of going through these type of seasons. And I think he's done a good job showing restraint, but I think we are starting to see the level of frustration seep through in some of the comments. And he's still well-spoken, and he's not ranting, but he is saying some very heavy things last night and again today.
Well, I think if he's saying that publicly, we all know 100% him and Peter Shirelli have had those conversations. It's no surprise to anyone. McClellan, I think realizing when he's inside of it, he sees exactly what's lacking from the group, right? Because from the outside, we all have certain impressions as a coach or what have you, and you're like, okay, maybe the message wasn't right before, or this or that, and then you get in there and all of a sudden, because that's natural, a lot of people think, and that's why guys get traded all the time, we think he can work out better here, right? And I think they've gotten a front row seat of how deep seated the issues are in Edmonton.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think he maybe had an idea of what it would look like, and that there would be some rehabilitation needed. But I think what he's run into right now is kind of this realization that, holy smokes, I mean, it really, really gets bad with this group, and the answers that he is wanting to prod his players to find, the motivation he's wanting to prod his players into discovering in the middle of these meaningless games, the accumulation of 5-6 years of this for some of these guys is too much for him to coach his way out of with some of these players. This is just the mode they fall into. They're a team whose back gets broken and there's no pushback. And so that goes against, I'm sure, every fiber of his being, and he wants more pushback. He wants guys that are going to find some pride and self-evaluate like he talked about today. But he's got a group of guys that have been through this before, and I think it's probably a little eye-opening to him how bad it actually is now that he's in the thick of the worst part of it. And I think, he's a good coach. He's an experienced coach, but I don't know that he's ever experienced this at the NHL level. It's one thing to take a really talented group that is expected to achieve and help them get there. It's another thing to take a group, a decent group, that's done nothing but lose and give them a wholesale attitude change. and it's top to bottom. And that's, I think his eyes are being opened a little bit to how monumental the task is because of all the losing. And what he said last night that struck me too is, and again, I'll paraphrase it, but he basically just said, you know, we gotta figure out how to get more, even though these games don't mean a lot, or there are going to be massive changes needed. To me, that's him saying he's worried that the core might actually be rotten because of too much losing and not salvageable.
And see, that's going to lead to my next question. I keep hearing the word core. So who's the core? Is it Eberle? Is it Hall? Is it Nugent Hopkins? Is that it? Is that the only members of the core? Is that it? Who else is the core? Because I think people are relying too much on the core. What does that even mean to me? Because there's those three guys that have been here 6 years. So those three are rotten. Then let's say those are the people that people – because I can't put Darnell Nurse. I can't put McDavid. I can't put Draisaitl in. I can't put Letestu in. I can't put Secker in. Maybe, I guess, Klefbom. So that's like – I think sometimes we're falling on an easy word of core, and I'm not even sure we know what it means, because then let's say they have to trade two out of Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, and Hall if that's what people think fixes the team. And honestly, I don't believe that fixes the team.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Dregs just sent out a note here, and I'm just making sure that it is not a fake account. Edmonton trades the rights of Philip Larson. There's a name from the past.
Yeah, no,
Philip
it's real.
Larson to Vancouver for a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. He just sent that out a minute ago, so it popped across my email. And
yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. There's a big trade. Big trade.
So there it is. There's the change, the fifth-round pick. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. No, I totally hear you, man. But I think when he talked about that, I think he was talking about the actual core. I think he was talking about Hall, Eberle, Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov, Schultz. I mean, I even talking about all of them and how, boy, it's. I mean, I think the idea is if they have to move a few really good pieces to improve the blue line and shuffle the deck a little bit, then maybe that's what will be required. Then there's this other school of thought that, yeah, I mean, that you're not going to be able to win with any of these guys because there's been too much losing, and they're not going to be able to recover from, you know, stunted development, stunted winning attitudes. I think he was in a, you know, he was obviously in a tough mood last night and probably feeling pretty down about things. He was a little more upbeat today, but there's change that's needed, no question. Like maybe he's starting to wonder in his mind if it isn't more significant change than even he would have anticipated. I think that's maybe what that means.
Yeah, and I understand it. There's no simple fix to the orders. It's like, number one, they need a lot more talent, and they need a lot more consistency and drive. And they need a lot, like as Todd McClellan said, the change isn't just moving players out. It's some players that are here have to change how they play or the team won't win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, the blue line is job one. It's making everything else look bad. There are lots of other issues on the team for sure. But when the blue line is that bad and when they just can't move the puck. They can't break the puck out clean. They've got lots of forwards that are ready to grab it and go, and they just can't make tape-to-tape passes. They can't make clean passes. They're making quick panic plays in their own zone. Like a blue line this bad, just it sullies everything. They're not going to win a thing until this blue line is significantly better. I don't care if they pick first for the next 5 years in a row. It's not going to matter. They have to improve this blue line, and everything else is difficult to judge until they're able to do that. And so all bets are off, man. And again, this is where you get into that range of other teams know you're desperate. Everybody knows the Oilers are desperate for blue liners and got lots of good young forwards to deal. So this is where this is going to be up to Peter Chiarelli to make a deal that completely makes sense, where you don't all of a sudden hear about Ryan Nugent Hopkins for Travis Hamonic. You know, that's just not, yes, you got your defenseman, but holy smokes, did you have to give up too much to get them, you know, where in the name of just getting somebody, you start having to overpay. He's going to be in a tough spot because GMs are going to see him coming 100 miles away.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Looking at, like, Schultz, let's say they can't trade him. Like, I think they trade him. But let's say worst-case scenario they don't. What do you do with him?
Well, you don't qualify them. So I think, depending on what they have in their lineup, I think they're finally able to treat him exactly how they want to treat him. and not have to worry about anything other than what makes sense to the coach and to his lineup. So I think they start treating him based on what he deserves. So if he's playing well, he plays. If he's playing like garbage, he doesn't play. If his play stays the same as it is right now and they're unable to move him and they get to the deadline and the deadline passes and he's still an Oiler and he doesn't belong in the lineup, don't trust him. If the determination is made that they're moving on with him, send him to the minors. That's not the end of the world either. But they can finally treat him the way he deserves to be treated based on the quality of his play and not based on moving an asset.
Nail Yakupov, do you sense, like, is his experiment almost at the level of Schultz as far as being done?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't think it's as far down the rabbit hole. Like, I don't think it's quite as far gone. Like, with Schultz, it's to the point now where it doesn't look like it's in any way, shape, or form redeemable with this organization. With Yakupov, I would say the same thing based on a lot of the performance, but there's a couple of different factors with Nail. The contract is infinitely better and more palatable. $2.5 million for Nail Yakupov to continue to try and sort things out is understandable. $4 million for Schultz is not. So if they can find somebody to take Yakupov that gives them a return that has at least a chance of being some sort of contributor, then I think you go ahead and do it. But if literally there's nothing that will help you, I don't know that they have to move him. I don't think I would say at this point it's Yakupov has to move on. It's over here in Edmonton. He's got to go. Because the one thing that they can always do if they have to is go back to playing him with McDavid, seeing if he can generate some points from that spot. And if that's all he is, if that's all he can do is produce a decent amount of supplementary points playing the wing with McDavid for $2.5 million, that's not that bad.
You honestly think he, that's the player you want playing with, you know, what some people say is top five player in the world?
Well, you don't have to have, you know, two more top 10 players in the world to play with. That's the point of having a top five player in the world, is he's a top five player in the world and is fantastic on his own. And you try and supplement him with players that can, you know, be complementary players and help him contribute. So if the trail runs cold and he doesn't produce, no, you don't want him playing with him. But he did produce when he did play with him. So, I mean, like strategically, I kind of get what Todd wants to do. He wants a long-term look at Eberle with McDavid because they need to make a call on Eberle in the offseason, and that's really important. So I get why he has persevered with this line, and it has been reasonably producing. But as far as trade value goes, they would have been better off to keep Yakupov with McDavid and see if Nail can continue producing and then move him while he's on a little, at least putting up a decent number of points. But he played the best hockey I've seen him play as an Oiler when he was with Connor McDavid. That's what I know. Right, wrong, does he belong there, whatever. He was his most confident, playing his best two-way overall game. Offense, defense, the best I've seen from him was when he played with McDavid. And for $2.5 million to have a guy who's capable there, if they have to move Eberle, because I'll tell you what, you lose Purcell to free agency, and you have to move Eberle to get your defenseman in the offseason, you probably don't mind Yakupov at $2.5 million in that spot somewhere in your top six at that point. I mean, they'll probably be able to get a good free agent to come to Edmonton. Like, free agents are going to want to come play with Connor McDavid for sure, but you don't mind having Yakupov so much at $2.5 million at that point if you've lost those other two.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It will be it'll be an interesting next, what is that, 96 hours almost, a little bit longer, 120.
Man, you're asking the wrong guy to help you out with math.
I know, it's 120 is 5 days, sure. We'll go with that. So leading into the deadline for the order. So one last one. You know, it wasn't just Schultz last night that was bad. And your question to Todd McLellan, that if it doesn't change, they have huge problems. That, to me, was the statement that made me go, whereas, you know, because it's easy to finger point one guy, everybody's booing Schultz, fine. He leaves town Monday. That doesn't solve the problems. It just eliminates one guy. And that's where, you know, it's a bigger issue at play here, that maybe some guys just aren't mentally tough enough to get it done when it matters.
Well, they're not. The problem is that it doesn't matter right now, and they're not getting it done. So does that mean that they're not going to be able to get it done, you know, when the team around them is better and they are in the hunt? Like, it's kind of two different things, right? Todd wants players who can compete no matter what situation they're in, playoffs, no playoffs, for some personal pride, those sorts of things, right? And this situation they're in, and it was your question about, you know, what they're going to learn about guys until the end of the year from here on out to Peter Chiarelli. They're absolutely going to school on these guys and figuring out who can we rely on, who can we depend on. The problem is these players have been through this for so many years before Peter Chiarelli and Todd McClellan were ever here. And I don't think you can underestimate the number of accountability issues that would get weeded out in Schultz, in Yakupov, in whoever, if this team had been able to play some games that meant something month after month. The net effect of worthless games, night in, night out, on the development of these players and their ability. We wonder why they can't shake bad habits from their game, because if they were in a playoff hunt for half a season or more every year, the room would weed that stuff out. Yeah. Guys would be accountable to one another, because it would be, are you kidding me? We're 4 points out of a playoff spot and you're still pulling that crap? There would be an accountability and a leadership built within that room, because they would play games that matter. Nobody's going to pile onto anybody else in a meaningless stretch of hockey. It just doesn't happen. The stunting of the development and the leadership and the accountability and the habits that meaningless month after month hockey has caused, I don't even know how you measure it on these young players.
Schauger, it'll be interesting because, man, after one of their worst games of the year, they go in against two of the teams that they match up the worst against, in the Ducks and the Kings. So it could be tough tomorrow and Friday. We will chat with you tomorrow. Go dig into that huge Philip Larson trade.
Okay, man, I'm going to get to the bottom of what's going on here. I didn't even know they still had his right.
Yeah.
If they can get a fifth for Philip Larson, holy smokes, what are they going to be able to get for Justin Schultz?
Oh, I knew you'd say that. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.